This show is sponsored by D-Drops. When I was exclusively breastfeeding my daughters, my doctor told me that our milk doesn't actually provide enough vitamin D, which is vital to our health, especially our babies. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends breastfed and partially breastfed infants to receive a vitamin D supplement of 400 IU per day from birth onwards. Baby D-Drops are designed specifically for breastfed babies. They're organic and contain only two simple ingredients: fractionated coconut oil and pure vitamin D3, and it does not contain any preservatives, artificial flavors, or colors. You can just drop some on your baby's bottle, a pacifier, a clean finger, and give to your baby. You can find D-Drops easily at your local Walmart, Target, or even Amazon. If shopping on Amazon US or Canada, you can use my code BLOOMFIELD10 for 10% off your order. That's code BLOOMFIELD10 for 10% off your Amazon order. Try D-Drops today. Now let's get back to the show. Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. This is Cozy Little Convos. I'm your host Alice, here to chat all things baby toddler sleep tips that don't stress you out, with a sprinkle of parenthood mum life talk in here as well. Whether you're expecting a baby, you're a first time mum, you're a seasoned parent needing a safe space to learn all about sleep, you're in the right place. Getting better sleep is not one size fits all, and I'm here to help you feel confident and supported in your baby sleep journey. So let's get on with the show. Hello, hello. I'm not going to lie to you. Isabel is supposed to wake up from a nap in the next 20 minutes. So I'm hoping to get this podcast done. I've been planning it while she's been sleeping, and I really wanted to get it done and recorded. So here we are. Nothing's really been going on with me, to be honest. I've just been working a lot. Oh my gosh, how could I forget this? My eldest daughter turned 4 last week, and it was a really emotional and magical time. I don't know, it was lovely. I love her age right now. She's so fun. It was such a nice time. We had a lovely little garden party outside the front. And it was just great. I love her being 4. It's probably my favorite age since the, I love age 1 to 2. That's another favorite age of mine. I do not love 2 to 3.5. That was not my favorite, but 3.5 to 4-ish so far is a lot better than the 3-nager stage. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. It's been kind of bittersweet, you know. It's special. It's special when your baby starts growing up, and you know, we're doing preschool. Next year she's gonna be in real school. I don't want to talk about it. All right, you know what? We're just gonna move on to today's episode, which we're talking about teething today. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. I hate teething. I hate teething. And don't worry, I am going to be more positive as the episode goes on, but I'm just going to start out real with you. My kids' sleep often really sucks when they are teething. We were teething last week, and it was literally the worst with my youngest, who is getting her molars right now. She's doing great now, though, the last couple of days. But having a teething baby is miserable for all those involved, including the parent. No, we're not in physical pain ourselves, but our baby is. And there's basically nothing you can do about it, which is emotionally painful. And then there's just the fact that a teething baby is in a degree of pain and discomfort, which means that they're loud and whiny and sad, which is overstimulating at best and just a terrible day for everyone at worst. Toothache as an adult is horrible. I don't know if you've ever had like wisdom teeth out or anything like that, but I think it's so important to have genuine empathy when your little one is teething, as they truly just hurt a lot. Their mouth hurts, which makes their head hurt. And to make it even worse, they don't even know why. They don't understand that their teeth are growing so they can eat delicious, amazing food for the rest of their lives and have a beautiful smile. To them, it just hurts for no good reason. So yeah, teething sucks. But so many parents blame terrible, awful sleep on teething for months and months and months on end. And that just isn't the case. Please hear me out. I'm not dismissing that teething affects sleep. I don't want you to think that I'm dismissing that teething makes terrible sleep. You know, I've just said that my kids have a hard time sleeping when they're teething. I know that a lot of sleep consultants out there will say that it doesn't affect sleep, and I respect them. But I also call BS on that. Respectfully, I just think it's wrong. So here is what we do know. And as always, I'll be linking my sources in the show notes because I think that research is important. So we do know that teething becomes painful about 4 days before their tooth physically erupts through their gums. Before this, it's unlikely that your baby is going to be in so much pain that you would notice a significant difference over a long period of time, which means that teething won't last for months at a time, consolidated, like some parents might indicate. With that said, your baby may have a few teeth come through at once, so it could be a really tough couple of weeks or 3 weeks for both of you. But overall, the hardest part of teething will only last a few days maximum. Interesting fact about my eldest baby, Lily, she got her first two bottom teeth just shy of 4 months. Had all her teeth by the time she was only 15 months old, which if you don't know, that's actually really early. There are some babies that don't get their first teeth until they're one. Both of them are slight outliers. But yeah, there are definitely positives and negatives to having teeth come in that quickly. I like that we didn't have to deal with a teething toddler with Lily. I'm experiencing that now with Isabel and it's just not fun. But we had lots of periods of teething in that first year, the worst being probably when she was about 8 months and she literally got 7 teeth in 3 weeks. I think that was probably the worst time of my life. I promise this episode is going to be more positive, but I actually did have a mental breakdown during that time. It also could have been that we just moved to Arizona. We hated where we lived. It was COVID. There was just like a lot of stress. And then I also had postnatal depression. But yes, it was miserable, definitely affected her sleep for those 3 weeks. On the contrary, there were literally some nights where a tooth popped through, you know, when she was 5, 6 months, 10 months, 12 months, and she sat through the entire night. She wasn't nearly as fussy in the day, and she woke, did great. I genuinely feel like some teeth are just more painful than others to cut through. So keep that in mind. I think it's important. You know, if they weren't fussy when they were teething one time, doesn't mean that they won't be the next time and vice versa. But my point is, the teething didn't last for months and months consecutively all at once. Now, quick reminder, because I know I've been kind of negative. Teething is totally natural, and it's not something to be worried about or anxious about. Yes, it causes gum pain, but not horrible intense pain that will scar your baby forever. It will probably scar you. I mean, I know it scars parents. Teething scars parents way more than it scars children. But in the rest of this episode, I'm going to be sharing with you some proven symptoms of teething, timeframes, red flags, and tips to help you and your baby get through it. So let's start off with some teething myths versus reality. Because there is so much information out there on teething, and I want to simplify what is true, what are proven signs of teething versus inaccurate old wives' tales. So proven signs of teething include drooling, small rash on the face from the drooling, swollen gums, usually like red, white nubs poking through the gums, like you can literally see white teeth trying to come through, increased chewing and gnawing, and then of course, fussiness. False signs of teething include, so this is false, is diaper and nappy rash, fever, diarrhea, runny nose, and excessive crying. If your baby has fever or a chronic rash, it's important not to write this off as a sign of teething. Doing this can cause delay in treatment for an actual medical problem. If your child has a fever and is acting very sick, make sure to contact their doctor or healthcare provider immediately before just writing off as teething. I've done this before where my daughter was just acting, I felt like, crazy and totally different. I thought she was very, very sick. I took her in and they said it's just teething. And I don't care. Yeah, I was embarrassed. But you know what? I am glad that I got it checked because what if it wasn't, you know? So that's just my 2 cents there. So how can we help our babies through teething pain? I'm going to share some tips that have shown to be the most effective for comfort when your baby's teething. First being teething and chew toys and teething rings. Having something to chew on helps your baby release that sort of feeling of pressure from the tooth erupting. So that can be really helpful. A little extra tip, if your baby's too little to use a teething ring, like my youngest was, or just doesn't seem to want to take one, try dipping the corner of a clean washcloth, or a flannel, as they call it in England, in breast milk or formula, and then placing it in the freezer in a Ziploc bag for a little while, just to sort of crunch up a little bit, not totally frozen, and then offer to your baby to chew on. They usually love it. It's just soft and cold and yummy and really helpful for when they're teething. Of course, lots of cuddling is a really helpful soothing tip. One study actually calls it cuddle therapy, which I just think is the cutest thing in the whole wide world. So cute. Oh, it was my favorite thing about that whole study was them calling it cuddle therapy. So yeah, whenever I cuddle my baby, I'm just going to call it cuddle therapy from now on. Don't be worried that your baby is becoming clingy during teething. They hurt and they need a cuddle from their loved one at this moment. And so they are clingy for a little bit, but it doesn't mean that they will be clingy when they're not hurting and teething. So if you want some more tips on separation anxiety, like if your baby isn't teething, but they're having separation anxiety, then go ahead and listen to my other episode. I believe it's episode 2. Really good one. Lots of really good tips for helping that. If your baby isn't teething, but they're having separation anxiety. And then finally, pain medicine. Ask your child's healthcare provider about Tylenol or Motrin, or in the UK, they call it Calpol, for teething pain relief. Please use doctor directions only for dosage. I am not a healthcare provider. I'm not a medical provider. Just going to make sure that is in disclosure. But it can be really helpful. We asked our doctor for a dosage for our babies when they're teething, and it does help at bedtime. Please note, just in case you didn't know, because I didn't know until I read it, was that Motrin is not for babies under the age of 6 months. So just so you know. Okay, so now let's talk about some tips to avoid, because you'll see a lot of this stuff online. And I'm just going to preface with I've done every single one of these tips with my firstborn, which is so, I feel so bad about that. But you live and you learn. You know, this was before I was a sleep consultant. It was before I was heavily researching stuff. But let me prevent you from making the same mistake. Although many parents swear by them, please refrain from using teething jewelry. This includes Baltic amber teething necklaces, wrist bracelets, anklets, wood or silicone jewelry of any kind, or any form of teething beads or jewelry. I know I bought all of these things back in 2020. We see them everywhere. People swear by them, but you need to know this. And I don't want to like fearmonger, but I'm not going to go into detail, but teething jewelry is a main cause for infant death through strangulation, choking, and suffocation, even during supervised daytime use. Honestly, when it comes to the science of Baltic amber teething necklaces, they've actually been completely disproved to be effective at all. The claim is that the amber in the beads in the necklaces release tiny amounts of succinic acid when warmed up by your baby's skin, which then passes into the bloodstream and acts as a pain reliever. But there is literally no evidence to suggest that this is true. And for, I can't remember it. This is completely off the top of my head, so please don't quote me on it, but the research will be linked for you to read. But I think I remember something about, like, it doesn't even, the succinic, I hope I'm not butchering that word, but the succinic acid is unable to be warmed to the temperature that it needs to be to do what it's claiming to do anyway, because your baby just isn't warm enough. So yeah, please avoid those. Also avoid teething gels without prescription, although it's really common practice, and it was common practice when we were babies. All those gels and creams, often they have benzocaine in them, which is not approved by the FDA at any age, and it can cause choking, allergic reactions, and is really harmful if used in the first 2 years. So, and it also only provides temporary relief. All of these things only provide temporary relief, and the other tips that I shared earlier honestly work better. So it's just not worth the risk. Use the other options instead. It's just not worth it. But don't feel bad if you did, because I also did too. Oh, and then finally, avoid frozen teething rings that have like a liquid in them. So, or anything that's totally frozen. Reason being is that, and I also bought these, like the frozen ones that are like plastic with a liquid inside, is that your baby's teeth, they can gnaw really hard and chew really hard to the point where they pierce it, and then the liquid comes out and they're consuming this liquid that we really don't know what is in there. And again, it's just not really worth it. And a frozen washcloth won't be totally frozen is a much better idea. So it's just nice and cool and yummy. So that's it for things to avoid. I don't want to be too controversial. Feel free to message me if you've got any questions about those, but I will also link those sources for you as well. So let's talk about what to expect with sleep when your baby is teething. So technically, as I mentioned earlier, many sleep consultants will say this too, that teething isn't supposed to cause any disruption to sleep. But it's often one of the most reported symptoms of teething in research, and something that parents really want help with. So I'm going to share out and lay out some realistic expectations. First things first, have hope. Some babies will truly sleep 12 hours overnight and wake up with two new teeth. It's not unheard of. It could totally be your baby. I'm really happy for you if this is your baby. It's happened a few times with my kids, but not totally. We've either had really horrible teething nights, or I've been surprised that they've got new teeth and I didn't even notice. So don't be upset or think something's wrong if this isn't your baby. If your baby isn't sleeping through the night, even though they're teething. I'm a sleep consultant and my daughters both have really struggled with night wakings when they are teething most of the time. Every baby is different. So I just don't want you to feel bad about that. I remember feeling really bad about that because everything online said it shouldn't affect sleep if they know how to sleep. And it's just not the case. Like, think about it. But here are a few bedtime teething tips that can help when they're teething, hopefully get the best sleep that you can. Offering those chew toys, frozen washcloths during bath time to help ease that pressure before bed. Giving a gum massage during bedtime routine, also doing that same thing. Offering the pain medicine via the direction from your child's pediatrician about 30 minutes before bed. And then, of course, offering cuddles and a feeding during a night waking due to teething. Don't be afraid of things being messed up. Even when my two-year-old, almost two-year-old, she's not two yet, but she pretty much sleeps through the night every single night. Regardless, she's had a little blip of what I think is a coming up 2 year sleep regression, but she seemed the last two nights she slept all the way through. But when she's teething and cuddling just isn't cutting it for her and everything else just isn't cutting it for her, I would just give her some milk. I'm very chill and relaxed about that kind of thing. And then she has gone back to sleeping through the night every single time without a bottle, without need for anything else. So have hope there. Here is the big secret when it comes to sleep and getting better sleep with teething after teething. Once that tooth has popped through, make sure to get right back to your normal everyday routine with sleep. Lay your baby down awake for bedtime and naps if that's what you've been doing already. This is probably the most important part. Don't delay this part. Backtracking is really, really hard. The idea is that you can go in and comfort and change things up and offer a feed when they haven't had one for a long time. But rather than letting it linger longer than it needs to, just do it for as long as needed and then get right back on track. They might take a couple of days, even a week to be back on track, but be consistent and you will have your good little sleeper back in no time. If you remember anything about this tip, it's get back on track as soon as that tooth has popped through, as soon as things are better. And that's it for today, folks. I hope that you're feeling light at the end of the tunnel. I promise there is for your teething baby. If you're going through it right now, I hear you. You've got this. I literally was you 3 days ago, kind of losing it. So, but things are better now and they're going to be better for you too. Tomorrow is a new day. Today is a new day. Things are going to get better. You can get through it if today's hard and things are going to get better. If your baby has never slept well, know that I have a lot of resources for you. Depending on your individual needs and your budget, I have something to help you. If you are ready to get started right now, I have a variety of self-led sleep guides and courses to walk you through step-by-step plans for teaching your baby to sleep using methods that are totally safe, loving, and research-based. I'll show you what to do at bedtime, how to handle every situation, and how to help your baby and toddler sleep through the night. This is honestly the way to get the most out of all of my free content, is to have these guides and courses as your core. All right, I just checked on the monitor and Isabel is actually waking up, so that's perfect timing. Thank you so much for listening to Cozy Little Combos, and I hope I'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning into Cozy Little Combos. If you liked it, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. It helps me so much in continuing to create helpful content for you. So thank you in advance for all of your support. If you haven't already, go ahead and join us over on Instagram at Cozy Baby Sleep. Give us a follow. I'm always posting really helpful, in-detail sleep tips over on my stories. And it's a good time, so join us. In the meantime, if you are struggling with sleep, just know that you're not alone. There's like thousands and millions of us out there that have been struggling as well, or that have been through it before. I'm here to help you, and everything's going to be all right. Okay, I'll be back next time for more, and I'll see you then. Bye.